Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the new year as we come resume lots of things. We pray for the school, Lord God, for the teachers going back. We commit them to you, Lord God. Pray for the students. And Father, what we do pray for a smooth running. We pray, Lord God, that it may be a place that is great for learning, but also great for pointing towards you. And so we do thank you, Father, for every staff member and teacher today. Father, we thank you for those who are leading different groups. We thank you, Father, for each one, for the gifts, for each of your people who are gifted and use those gifts for your glory. Bless them, Lord God. Help them, help us as a church, Lord God, to use whatever gift you've given to us to honour your name. Father, we thank you for the opportunities we have to encourage your members and to reach out to the lost. And so, Father, we pray for the Don Batten Convention. We pray for that time, Lord, it may be a time where people will come and hear and be challenged. Father, we thank you that your truth is truth. We thank you, Lord, that in a confusing world, that in a world that is has so many different avenues and different ways, that, Father, that your truth is stable. And we pray, Lord God, that people will come and hear your word and be challenged. Pray, Lord, for the young people today. Pray for the children as they hear about Moses and be challenged about his life, Lord God, and what you've done in his life. We also pray for ourselves, Father, that you may help us to be people who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Danish Christian philosopher Søren Kierkegaard was a philosopher in the 17th century. And he told a parable that highlighted the state of his own people back then. He told a parable of a rich man riding in a carriage that was driven by a peasant. And because the rich man sat inside near the artificial light, he actually missed the beautiful panorama of the heavens. To him, it was just a dark and gloomy night. Yet the peasant, who sat behind the horse, looked up and saw the wonder of creation. The rich man arrived at his destination, seeing nothing but darkness. The peasant arrived with his heart lifted towards the King of Heaven, for he saw God's handiwork. And that was a parable of his own day, of people who could see and those who could not see. Last week, we saw how the rich ruler was blind to what he was offered. He was offered eternity, and he said, no thanks. And he went away, sad. Luke also tells us that even the disciples could not see what was right before their eyes. So we left last week's passage with this. Verse 43 says, the disciples did not understand any of this. They did not know what Jesus was talking about. That's when he spoke about his suffering, death, and resurrection. They were clueless. In Mark 8, Jesus says to the disciples, how can you have eyes and still not see? How can you have ears and still not hear? No wonder salvation is pictured as scales falling from your eyes, or having our eyes opened. The account of the blind man, whom Mark calls Bartimaeus, actually represents humanity. People like the rich young ruler, like the Pharisee, they were blind to the truth, blind to the only solution that would give hope, that would give joy to eternity. And yet the vast majority of people back then and today have no idea they are spiritually blind. In fact, it's offensive to them to suggest that. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2. The person without the Spirit does not understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And so people will rush around gathering as much stuff as they can, investing their lives in what the world says is valuable. And they do that for the few years they are here on this earth. The motto is still the same motto: let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But there are some. There are a few people who have tasted the goodness of God. A glimpse of it awakens them to an eternal joy that C.S. Lewis says that only Christ can satisfy. No matter how small that is, will give you a foretaste of what to expect. While the rich young ruler and the Pharisee, and many today, try to work out who this Jesus is. Here we have a blind man with 20/20 vision. The blind man knew the identity of Jesus, and the seeing people had no clue. Many have been blind and have had their eyes opened. Now this Bartimaeus, he was blind and he was helpless. But he had good hearing. He heard the commotion of the crowd. What's going on? Who's coming? He asked. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The glorious healer was soon going to be within a few paces of Bartimaeus. And he'd be gone forever. He's just passing by. Bartimaeus was surrounded by bystanders. The bystanders were happy to watch Jesus pass by through their village on the way to Jerusalem. To some of them, Jesus was famous. He defied the authorities. To others, he was a deceiver, teaching people against the tradition of the elders. To the vast majority of people, Jesus was simply a curious sight, an interesting person to look at. It's the same today. For some people, Jesus is a fictional character, and they're too clever to fall for that. For others, he's a good moral teacher, taught some good things. And then he went too far and got killed by the Romans. But for the majority of people today, in our society, Jesus is someone they've never really thought about. They've heard about him in the distant past. They may stand outside their houses to look at him if he passed by, but nothing more. But who was Jesus to this blind beggar? He was none other than the Son of David. He was the Messiah who was prophesied to come to deliver his people, the one who would open the eyes of the blind, set prisoners free. He was the Son of God, whose miracles had spread throughout the region, and the word had spread everywhere. You know, there's a program, you may have seen it, called the Antique Roadshow. And people bring their things of value to be appraised. Old paintings, vases, works of art. One day, someone brought an item that actually ended up being the most valuable item in the show's history. It was called the Fabergé flower. 6 inches long, it was crafted with gold, silver, enamel, jade, diamond, and it was set on a crystal base. It's the only surviving one of its kind, made in the 1900s. And the owner was completely oblivious of its value. And then came the shock at the end. The flower was valued at £1 million. You know, there are people today with a great eye for the value of things. They've got a great eye for cars. They have a great eye for antiques, for bric-a-brac, for clothing even. What others see as junk, they see as items of value. And others, they could see a giant diamond right in front of them with a neon sign that says, diamond of great value, and not a clue of its value. Bartimaeus' friends and neighbours simply watched Jesus pass by. But he yelled out over the noise, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Once again, we see the theme throughout Luke's gospel. We have the outcasts, the underprivileged, we have the helpless being rebuked and shut down. Earlier, the disciples rebuked the parents who brought their children for Jesus to bless. Likewise here, those who are leading the group, we are told, rebuked the blind beggar, telling him to be quiet. Children, tax collectors, blind beggars have no business expecting an audience with Jesus. He's not interested in people like that. Yet it's those very people who saw the truth first. It's those very people who heard the words of life and responded. They considered the blind beggar not important enough to earn the Lord's time. You see, if the world can't buy your allegiance, as it did with the rich young ruler, with wealth and praise and acceptance, it will try to silence you. It will try to cancel you. Today, Christians have been fired from their jobs because of their faith. There have been students at university have had marks deducted because of their faith and their stand. One atheist wrote this. He says, Christians can believe whatever they want as long as it's in the privacy of their own homes, in their own hearts, and in their own churches. We must not allow their beliefs in public. Would blind Bartimaeus, would he cower in a submission when he was rebuked and told to keep quiet? Not on your life. Discouragement only intensified his eagerness for Jesus. It didn't shut him down. The crowd rebuked him. He ignored the crowd and he became more determined to get to Jesus. Dear friends, let that be with us as well during our times of discouragement. There are so many people who've been discouraged and end up throwing in the towel, becoming resentful and bitter at the world, at friends, and at God. The blind beggar knew this could be his only opportunity. Forget etiquette, forget decorum, forget manners. I need to get to Jesus. And instead of feeling dejected and remaining silent, no way, he shouted even louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Like the tax collector in the temple, the blind man asks for the only thing he can ask for, mercy. Have mercy. Please feel pity for me. Instantly, Jesus stopped and ordered the blind man to be brought to him. Remember, it was Jesus who said, I have come to seek and save the lost. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, says Jesus. It's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. People like blind Bartimaeus is the reason Jesus came. Finally, the blind man gets an audience with the Lord. His persistence, like the widow and the judge, his persistence pays off. And then Jesus asks him what seems an unusual question. He asks the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? Now imagine if the blind man finally stood before Jesus after yelling and shouting and getting the attention of Jesus. And when he is asked, what do you want me to do for you? Imagine if he replied, well, I don't actually know. I didn't think I'd get this far. Can I have time to think about it? You see, friends, there are times when in our prayers we aim way too low. Way too low. There are people who love to worship God together, as we are today, to hear God's word, to read scriptures, but they have no sense of urgency, no sense of need in their heart. Their souls are not burdened under any sense of sin. There's not a thirsting after the living God. If he happened to pass by, they'd go out and watch. There's not a sense of urgency. They want bread, but it's not the bread of life they're after. If the Lord said to you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? How would you answer the question? Would you say, well, actually, I was just praying my usual prayer, hadn't thought about that? Or would you ask for something general? Please bless the world. Help people live in peace and harmony. Or would you look at your regular prayers, the things you've been pleading with God for weeks and months and years? Would they come to mind and say, Lord, open the eyes of that family member that they may see you in your glory? Would you say, Lord, help me overcome my sin to live and honour your name? Lord, use me to use my gifts to advance your kingdom. Jesus asked this man, what do you want me to do for you? And the man says, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see God's creation. I want to experience the sunset and the sunrise. I want to see the face of the people I love. I want to see. And Jesus, as he often does, gives us far more than we ask or even imagine, to quote Paul. Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, his eyes were opened and faith given. Imagine seeing for the first time, seeing the face of Jesus the first time your eyes are opened. Receive your sight. There are many people today, unfortunately, who rob God of his glory when they think of this man's faith and say, yeah, he had faith and that's why this was achieved. They believe that faith is like an energy. You can turn it up. If you have enough energy, it will achieve great things. But we remember, Jesus says, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, it will be effective. In what sense can we say this man's faith brought about his healing? It was his faith that called out to Jesus, the great healer. It was his faith that caused him to reject those around him who tried to rebuke him and silence him and continue to focus on Jesus. You see, what separated the blind beggar from the bystanders was that he had faith to see that Jesus was the Son of David, the Messiah. And that faith is like a beacon. Without faith, to them, Jesus was just a curiosity. They had eyes but could not see. His faith drew him to Christ, who gave him the healing. In God's great mercy, the blind man not only received his sight, but he became a follower of Jesus. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. You see, spiritual blindness, as demonstrated by the bystanders, is so dangerous. We can see the most valuable things just pass by and not be aware of them. There may be people here this morning hearing this message and in their heads they're elsewhere. The message is passing by. The good news is passing by. They have no idea that one day they will stand before the Lord. He will ask, what is it that you did with the gospel that I gave you? People can hear the gospel. They hear the offer of forgiveness of sins. They hear of a new life. And it washes over them. Yet there are some people who will never miss the opportunity. Those people will never miss the opportunity to make money, to invest. Their eyes are clear on investment portfolios, on the assets, how many places they own. They would see opportunities if they lived in a deserted island. And yet before the most wonderful gift ever, they are blind as blind can be. Are we aware of the opportunities that Christ offers this morning? Eternal blessings which will quench the thirst that nothing in this world can quench. Whether you're 10, 15, 20, 30, you will live your life right through. Some people will be seeking this and that and this and that right through. And nothing will appeal unless you come to Christ and say, this is it. I have found the thing that will quench my thirst for eternity. If we follow society, invest in this decaying world, people will pat you on the back and say, well done. You've done well for yourself. Good on you. Many will jeopardize their family. Many will jeopardize their health and their faith, building up the things they cannot keep. You see, friends, Luke compares the rich young ruler last week who had every opportunity but was blind. He compares him to the blind man who had 20/20 vision. In a sense, he's really saying this, blind Freddy could see the gospel and accept it. Why can't you? If Jesus asked you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? What would your answer be? Like the children's talk, many today are just so busy, overwhelmed by all the things they have to do, rushing here, rushing there, burning themselves out, trying to fill their lives with dust, vanity, neglecting the things of eternity. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, show me what's in your bag of possessions. For in that bag will contain stuff that will be burnt up in the fire, or it will contain things that will pass through the fire. What does your bag contain? The rich ruler left, we are told, he was very sad because he clung to his wealth and it could not meet the need. Today, the blind man became a follower of Jesus and left rejoicing and praising God. Where do you stand? I pray, Lord, that each one here today may know that joy, may celebrate in having their eyes opened to see the glory of God and the opportunities he gives in this life into eternity. Let us pray. Father, what a great reminder for us to open our eyes to see. Father, what a rebuke the disciples got. You have eyes but do not see, ears and do not hear. Father, may that rebuke not be for us today. Lord, open our eyes by your Spirit. Help us to see, not only see, but take hold to cling to Christ, to cling to the gospel, to cling to eternity. Have mercy on me, Son of David. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.